Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to tonight's episode of Sister Talk. I can't believe it. Tonight I didn't do it. Normally I jump on before the Blog Talk announcer says Blog Talk Radio. I normally jump ahead of that, but tonight, praise God, I was right on time. Welcome again. This is tonight's episode of Sister Talk. I am your host, Ciola J. Abrams. And you again are listening to Sister Talk on Sisters Radio. I want to take this opportunity to welcome our faithful listeners who have been tuning in for, can you believe it, the past 11 weeks. We have been doing this for 11 weeks, and I am so grateful and so honored to have you listening in tonight. To those of you, again, who have been listening in for the past 11 weeks, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you for your faithfulness, to say thank you for tuning in. As I always say every Thursday, I realize that 7 o'clock p.m. on a weeknight is a very prime time. It's the time when most of you are preparing your dinner or sitting down, spending time with your family, perhaps helping your children with their homework or spending some quality time with your spouse. And I don't take it for granted that you're tuning in tonight. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And if we have any new listeners tonight, and I'm hoping that we do, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you as well for listening in. Thank you for taking the time to chime in. I hope that the information you hear tonight is information that is encouraging to you, helpful to you, and inspiring to you, and that it would motivate you to come back and listen in on next week. I also want to encourage our listeners who have been listening and again, our new listeners, if you want to go back and listen to previous episodes, you're more than welcome to do that, excuse me, by going to www.blogtalkradio/sistersradio, and you will be taken to our Blog Talk website page where you can listen to the past 10 episodes. And about 30 minutes after tonight's episode, it will upload to the site as well, and you can go back and listen to this tonight's episode as well. So again, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for tuning in, and let's have a wonderful show. I'm looking forward to providing and sharing some information with you tonight that I know will be beneficial to some of you if you don't know it, and maybe encouraging and inspiring to others. Again, this is our 11th episode, and I am your host, Ciola J. Abrams, and again, I want to just thank you for taking the time to listen in. All right, so what I like to do at the beginning of every episode, once we get past the introductions, is to remind you about upcoming events that we have coming up. And I want to take this time to remind you that on May 13th, and that's a Saturday, May 13th, it's the day before Mother's Day, we have the awesome privilege and honor of debuting a play from female to woman to lady. It's a play that God had given me the concept to over 8 years ago, and I have the highly esteemed privilege and honor of having co-wrote that with Michelle McLaurin-Turner. Some of you may know her as Shell T here in the Bay Area, a very popular, awesome, and wonderful comedian, and also a producer, co-writer of the movie Restored Me. So I want to encourage you, if you can, bring your mothers, your sisters, all of the important mothers in your life, not only mothers, bring the entire family, because I think it's going to be a play that is really going to be impactful in the lives of those who come out to see it. Again, the title of the play is called From Female to Woman to Lady, and it is a powerful story of healing and deliverance, and it really kind of shows what the power of prayer and love can do. And it really encourages families to come together, to unite as one, and to allow the power of love to bring forth healing. So please come out and join us on Saturday, May the 13th. The doors open at 7 p.m. and the show starts promptly at 8 p.m. You can find out more information by visiting our website at www.femaletowomantolady.com. You can purchase your tickets from that website, or you can go to the Empress Theater, that's Empress, E-M-P-R-E-S-S, theater.org, and purchase your tickets there. If you go to the Empress's website, you definitely want to click on the events calendar, scroll down, and click the month of May, and then click on May 13th, and there you will be able to find out information about the play and purchase your ticket. Now, the Empress Theater is in Vallejo, so that's the Empress Theater on Saturday, May 13th. Doors open at 7 p.m., and the show starts promptly at 8 p.m. All righty, I also want to let you know that our fourth annual women's conference is coming up, and this year we're holding the conference in Sacramento, California. It's a two-day conference. It will take place on Friday, June the 23rd from 6 until 10 p.m., and Saturday, June the 24th from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. You can purchase your tickets to the conference by going to our website, the Women's Conference, our nonprofit website at www.sceoanew.org. And you can find out information on the Women's Conference. You can click and be redirected to where you can get more information on our speakers. We have six incredibly powerful speakers this year. And we have vendor spaces available also if you are looking to be a vendor at the Women's Conference. All of that information can be found on that website. So, again, the play is happening on Saturday, May 13th, and the Women's Conference on June 23rd, which is a Friday evening, and Saturday, June 24th. All right. So if you're just tuning in, I am your host, Ciola J. Abram. You're listening to Sisters Talk on Sisters Blog Talk Radio Show. And tonight's episode is covering business basics. So tonight I'll be sharing information on business basics. And I say business basics because there is so much to share regarding starting and successfully operating your own business. On average, I receive about 20 calls a week, where I am being asked many things, from questions regarding Christian and biblical questions to questions about running and operating your own business. And I kid you not, I really do receive about 20-plus phone calls every week on one of these two topics. And I say this with all humility. It's nothing new to me, especially in regards to business questions. I've been getting those questions for many years as I've been doing this since I was in my early 20s. And you know, I'm not shy to say I'm 50, so I've been doing this for close to 30 years now. And I give all the glory to God that he's put me in positions over the years where I've been able to acquire the knowledge that I've been able to acquire, and from learning from my own mistakes, where I have learned some very valuable lessons that have taught me a great deal about running and operating your own business. So as I said, I've been doing this for about 29, 30 years since, it's been a long time. And I also wanted to say that over that time frame, I really had the honor and the privilege of learning information from many successful business people over the years. You know, I've had top executives, whether they're VPs, directors, presidents, you know, even government officials that I've had the honor of working with, that have really taken me, that took me under their wings, and they taught me so much about business, so much. And I just want to encourage you, never be too wise that you can't acquire wisdom. You know, never be too smart that you can't learn more. Always surround yourself with people who can educate you, who can teach you, whom you can learn from. You know, I've heard it said, I've read it many times before, that you never want to be the smartest person in the room. So you never want to be the smartest person in the room. I have had wonderful people that have taught me over the years, and I still have wonderful people in my life that teach me even now, especially from a spiritual perspective. You know, so there are many people that I just, you know, I have gleaned from over the years, and I want to encourage you. Educate yourself. Be an avid researcher. Learn, read. I'm an avid researcher. I love to read books. I research and I read a lot. That's important. And I listen. If you can listen, you can learn. So that's one of the other key principles. Study to be quiet so you can learn. A lot of times I sit quietly so that I can observe and I can learn. So please, if you don't take anything from this, learn to be quiet, because you can learn a lot by listening. All right. So one of the things I want to share with you is a little bit about my background. Not that I need to qualify or anything, but I do want to share some of my own experiences. So I want to let you know that it was in 1995. that I actually launched my first business. It was called Simply You Designs from the Heart. Now, hear me when I tell you, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and I'm not by no means embarrassed to mention that. I had no idea what I was doing. I've always had this, from a child, this entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, obviously back then I didn't recognize it as an entrepreneurial spirit, but I've always felt like I just wanted to work and do my own thing. And I've struggled working in the workplace because I get bored easily. It's really hard to hold my attention. And I found for me, and when I'm in a position and I'm working or doing something where it benefits others, that's the most rewarding to me and the most satisfying to me. So I would easily get bored if I'm in a business and it's really about making business. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm making money. Don't get me wrong. I understand that people are in the business of making money. I get that concept. But for me, it has to be more. It has to be fulfilling, rewarding, satisfying. It has to be beneficial to others in order for me personally to feel satisfied with it. And so for me, I've always wanted to be able to help and to assist, but to do that in my own business. And here I am today. So I started my first business in 1995, as I said, and it was Simply You, called Simply You Designs from the Heart. And again, I had no idea what I was doing. So in this business, I would create mouse pads and T-shirts and greeting cards. And I've written over 100 greeting cards, of which I still have. And I've written over 100 plus bookmarks, of which I still have. And at this time in this business, my best friend and I, we actually co-wrote and created a magazine. Now get this, I actually convinced a beauty supply in Bayfair Mall many years ago in San Leandro to carry our magazine. Now that was a wonderful thing. The only problem was I had not done my research on how to produce the magazine. So I had one copy that I was running around trying to get people to allow us to sell it in their store, but I had not done my necessary due diligence to figure out how to produce mass copies of it, my first mistake. And this is why I'm saying we really need to understand business basics. We really need to understand critical thinking when it comes to launching and starting your own business. If you jump out there and you just want to start a business and you want to do all these wonderful cutesy business cards and you want to get a website up, but you haven't really kind of set the infrastructure for a sound and successful business, you are in for a world of trouble, because businesses do not succeed. They do not become sustainable by cute things. They do not become sustainable by fun things. They become sustainable and successful by you doing your necessary research and setting a firm and solid infrastructure. I can't express that enough. So that was my first mistake. I had all these wonderful ideas, but I hadn't done my research. I had no structure. I had no foundation. So everything I was building upon, at least so I thought, I was building upon, had nothing to really stand firm on. So needless to say, the magazine never went anywhere. And so that did not work. So I went ahead and I had the support of a family member whom I love dearly. And she was very supportive and she helped me to acquire Adobe software. So I bought all this Adobe software. Now, back in the 90s, Adobe software was really expensive and it was really used by primarily graphic designers. And so I went out and I bought this Adobe Photoshop. I went out and I bought Adobe Illustrator and Adobe at the time, PageMaker. They no longer use PageMaker, but it was a page layout software application or program. And I went out and bought all this stuff. I bought myself a G4 Macintosh printer, computer, and I self-taught myself all these applications. And after doing it for a while and creating some business cards on my own, I made a decision to go and enroll in graphic design school. And after successfully completing and graduating from graphic design school in 1996, I did that because I wanted to make sure I knew what I self-taught myself was actually the right way of learning. And it was, but there were obviously many other things that I learned in school that I could not have taught myself. So that was great. So I started, after graduating, I started my own little business. It was unofficial. What I did was I added to Simply You Designs from the Heart. I added these other components of graphic design to the business. And it started to actually grow. I started, you know, to do business cards for family members and friends and some people in the Hayward Unified School District, which is where we were living at the time. And I started doing different things for different individuals and helping family with some of the stuff they were doing. And that actually worked for me. It was really good. And after a few years, I unofficially started Graphics by Ciola. And now I'm doing corporate identity packages, right? And corporate identity packages consist of business cards, letterhead, and envelopes, anything related to a corporate marketing package, if you will. And so I started doing these. And in an effort to get my name out there, here's what I would do. I would go around to local businesses in Hayward, and I would take their marketing pieces, their postcards, their flyers, their brochures. And I did this for a number of businesses. And I took each of those pieces home, and I redesigned them. And what I would do is I would take them back to the businesses. So I did this for three reasons. I did it because I wanted to build my own portfolio, because I didn't have a whole bunch of clientele at the time, so I didn't have the necessary work to build my portfolio outside of what I did in school, which was good, but it wasn't business. I couldn't go to a business and say, well, this is an actual business, and I've redone or I've done their marketing pieces. So what I did is I took their business pieces, as I said, I redone them, and then I took them back. And the three reasons in which I did this, as I said, was one, so that I can build my portfolio, and two, I wanted to be able to show that I had skill, right? Build my portfolio, show that I had skill, so when I took it out there, I can say this is what I've done. And I've taken it back to the businesses in which I took their work. I took it back to them as a way to say, okay, this is what I've done. Which one did you like the best? It might have been arrogant back then, you know, but I certainly did it. Which one do you like best? And believe it or not, I got a couple of clients from doing that. And the third reason that I wanted to do that was, again, to build my portfolio, one. Two, I wanted to acquire business. And the third reason is I was really trying to get hired at a couple of coffee shops. Back in the day, this was Kinkle's, was not hadn't too long got off the ground, and then it was CopyMat. I'm dating myself. Some of you might remember CopyMat. And CopyMat was one of the clients that I took their information and redid it. So I was trying to get a job in one of these print companies so that I can really kind of hone my graphic design skills. Needless to say, I never got the job at Kinkle's or CopyMat. But I did pick up a few clients, and I learned. I also want to share this experience before we get into the businesses, the business basics. I want to share this one more experience after this one, and that is I had acquired a client at a business meeting, and we met at Starbucks. Now, this was on a whole different level than what I was accustomed to dealing with, because before I was dealing with individual clients and I was just doing business cards and flyers and brochures, and that was all fun. But this was an actual corporation, and I met with some of their top executives at Starbucks. And I'm here to tell you, I got myself all dolled up, had my portfolio and my self-made business cards, and I had created my own brochure, and I was ready for this meeting. And I walked in the Starbucks dressed professionally, and I sat down at the table and shook their hands, and they bought me coffee, and we began to have this conversation. Let me tell you, I was so nervous. I lacked confidence. In that moment, I realized that this group of folks that I was sitting at the table with was on a whole different level, a whole nother caliber that I wasn't even ready for. And they began to ask me all of these questions, like, how much is it going to cost to mass produce our corporate identity package? They started asking me questions like, is this going to be a four-color process or two-color process? They began to ask me all these questions that I thought I was prepared for, but I really wasn't. Because I was in the awe of the moment. I'm doing my own business, but I hadn't done my research. Oh, I'm having a wonderful time. I got a couple of clients, but I hadn't done my research. And when I tell you, I sat at that table praying to dear Jesus that this meeting would end sooner rather than later, because I felt like a complete fool sitting at that table because I was not ready. I thought I was ready, but I was not ready. And they obliged me. They were very kind, very gracious, and very merciful. And they continued to ask me questions, but now it's not so much about me helping them with their business. It's really about them helping me to get a firm foundation under my feet in reference to starting a business, in regards to starting a business. They did allow me to try and come up with three, as they put it, ideas for corporate identity packages. This included me designing three different logos, three different corporate identity packages, and I was shaking in my boots. When I left that meeting, I was so nervous, and I felt like a total failure when I got to my car because I was so ill-prepared for that. So, note, be prepared and don't rush yourself. Take your time, do your due diligence, learn what you need to learn before you branch out, because business is more, again, than business cards and websites and cute flyers and brochures. It is so much more than that. Needless to say, I was not able to deliver on their corporate identity package, but I thank God to this day for that experience, because what it did is it launched me into now really doing my research, because I did not want to be made a fool of again. I did not want to be ill-prepared. I did not want my name associated with anything unprofessional. I wanted to do business, and I wanted to be good at it, so it made me research. So it's never a failure whenever you try. My grandmother used to always say, nothing beats the failure but a try. If you try, you have not failed, because you have accomplished that learning wisdom, gaining wisdom and knowledge. And that in itself is never a failure. The last thing I want to share before we get into this is, if I fast forward about 8 years ago, I started making gift baskets for our families during Mother's Day and Easter. And this thing really took off really fast. So much so that I started doing gift baskets for coworkers and their friends. And then they started referring people. And my ex-husband at the time, who was just really a wonderful marketing person, he was sharing the information. And I started doing gift baskets for a whole lot of people. So much so that I acquired a contract with a national organization or corporation, I should say, and I got a contract with a contract of 1,440 gift baskets, and the contract was for $50 a gift basket, and I did this for 2 years. But in this, I learned again that I wasn't ready. I was able to do it for 2 years, bless God, but I still wasn't ready because I had not done my research on wholesale versus retail. I had not done my research on markups and how important the markup was. I had not done my research on insurance and covering myself, you know, because I'm producing gift baskets that have food-related products and products that could maybe cause rashes or infections. All kind of things could have happened. But here again, I'm excited. I learned one aspect, but I didn't learn the other aspect. So this is why I'm saying over the years, I was able to acquire so much wisdom and knowledge, not by my failures, but by the opportunities that were presented to me for growth, perspective. Look at your perspective. How do you look at the opportunities that you have? Do you look at them as failures or opportunities for growth? So change your perspective. So for 2 years, I had this contract. And I mean, these people really talked highly about me. I received an email that was meant for someone else, and they talked so highly of me. They really loved the baskets. They spoke about my professionalism. They spoke about me being timely, and I don't know where they got that from, because that was something else I learned. I was always late delivering the baskets. So again, I learned the importance of being on time when it comes to business, and what it says about you as a professional and as an individual. So I learned that. And I did it for 2 years, but I wasn't able to keep the contract because I missed the delivery. I'm just being honest here. I missed the delivery because I was in Mexico on vacation, and I didn't pay attention to my schedule of delivery. So I missed that, and somebody swooped in and took that contract from me. So I lost that. So please pay attention. Please pay attention. So in 2010, I started Adept Business Solutions, and it's an unofficial business to start helping others with their businesses. And for over 15 years, I have been coaching individuals and small businesses on everything from properly planning and opening their own business to operating their business to marketing strategy for their businesses. Unfortunately for me, It took me a while before I really began to believe in my own ability to take that same information I was given to others and use it for myself. So on tonight, I am going to share a little bit about business basics, but I wanted to provide you with a little background. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is, do you know what the five basic business structures are? This is important. It's important. It's important. It's important to know. There are five business structures that you should know about before you even consider starting a business. The first one is sole proprietorship. Okay? And I'm going to take my time just in case those of you are writing notes. Sole proprietorship. The second one is a partnership. A partnership. The third one is a corporation, and a corporation can be nonprofit or for-profit. Corporation is the third one. The fourth one is one that I know very little about. I know a little, but very little, and it is a S corporation, an S corporation. And the fifth one is what I'm sure many of you have heard of, LLC, Limited Liability Corporation, Limited Liability Corporation. So let me go back to sole proprietorship or sole proprietor. Now, I'm only going to go into these basic information is what I'm going to provide. I want to encourage you to do your own due diligence and research on each and every one of these. They will make a world of difference in your overall success of your business. I have talked to so many people who have started a business who did not know anything about structure, did not know anything about taxes, did not know the ramifications of not knowing these five business structures. And you can save yourself a world of trouble if you take your time and do your necessary research. So a sole proprietor means that you and you alone acquire the benefits and the risk. Hear me now, the benefits and the risk of operating your own business. You alone, not a partner, not a corporation, you. So that means you're responsible not only for the benefits and the success of that company, but you're responsible for any risk in operating that business. I can't stress this statement enough. With a sole proprietor, there is absolutely no distinction. There is absolutely no distinction between the assets and the liability, again, the benefits and the risk of your business and you, the owner. Let me be clear. In other words, let me give you a practical example with my gift basket. In the beginning, I started A Gift of Love, which is my gift basket name, as a sole proprietor. I didn't understand this. Here I am making all of these baskets, and I'm putting food products in those baskets. Now, let's just say someone got sick off of something I purchased and put in that gift basket. Let's just say one of the lotions or creams I used was outdated, and I didn't pay attention to it, and they got a rash. They got infected. That person could have sued me. And because I was a sole proprietor, that meant that I ran the risk of being sued and losing all of my personal possessions because I have no protection that some of the other business structures offer. So I want to be clear about that. As a sole proprietor, you run the risk and the benefit of operating that business, and there is no distinction between you as the owner and the business. As a sole proprietor, you and that business are one. Okay? So I just want to be clear about that. Now, as a partnership is two individuals that come together to form a business. Now, let's just say me and my best friend, we're going to start a business, and we're going to call it Ciola's Delicious Candy, and we're starting this business. As a partnership, what that means is me and my best friend are going to start this business. That means the both of us are responsible for running, for operating this business. We are responsible for the success of the business, the potential failure of the business. That means that both of us bring something to the table. Let's just say I bring the finances and my best friend brings the skill set. So she has the skill, I have the finances, and we come together to form this business. We have entered into a business partnership. A partnership. If the business lose, we both suffer the loss. If the business gain, we both gain. So that partnership means that we are responsible for the overall success of the business, and we are responsible for the losses of the business. All right? So we share in every aspect of the business as a partnership. All right? So we've talked about sole proprietorship, and we've talked about partnership. Now let's talk about corporations, because a lot of people get confused when it comes to corporations. For-profit, nonprofit. All right, so the only difference between a nonprofit corporation and a profit corporation, a profit corporation and a nonprofit corporation, which is also known as a nonprofit organization, is that the for-profit corporation is able to take its profits and share it with their shareholders. The nonprofit, now that's one of the differences. I'm not going to say that's the only difference. That's one of the differences that I'm going to touch on tonight, because I think that's the main distinction between the two, is that a for-profit business is able to take the profits for that business, and they're able to distribute it or make a profit for their shareholders. A nonprofit, charitable organization does not have that ability. Any profit made by a nonprofit must go back into that nonprofit organization and serve the mission, the purpose in which it was created. So if you are creating a business and you have classified it as an organization, the profit of that business is federally required to go back into that nonprofit. So please make sure you do your research. Whenever you will consider forming a nonprofit organization, there are strict tax laws. You can be audited. Obviously, you can be audited by the IRS or the Franchise Tax Board in relation to any business. But the nonprofit sector has taken such a hard hit because of its tax benefits. So many people have taken that and abused it. And now the IRS is really hard on nonprofit organizations. I can't stress this enough. So please make sure you do your due diligence, because you can get into serious trouble in regards to a nonprofit organization if you are not on top of your paperwork. Your files must be in decent order. You must make sure that you keep your minutes, your bylaws. I mean, I can go into so many different things regarding nonprofit organizations, and you need to make sure you have all of that stuff, your statement of information, all of this. And, I mean, if you're a nonprofit organization and you're doing charitable functions, there is a document that you are required to get Attorney General's office. So you really need to know your business when you're entering into a nonprofit organization. People think nonprofit and they think, oh, I'm just going to start a nonprofit because I want to go out and help and I want to do this wonderful thing. That's all great, but you need to understand the business structure. You need to understand the tax laws related to nonprofit organizations. You need to understand that it's more than just establishing a mission statement and starting a nonprofit organization. You need to know. And the other thing, and this is a hard lesson I had to learn, when I formed our nonprofit organization in 2011, I've had a 501c3 since 2011. I did not know, and after all of my research, I missed this, and I didn't know that you are also required to file state exemption with the state of California. If you do not do that, you will be required to pay state taxes. And if you do not file state exemption with the state of California and you do not pay your taxes, the Franchise Tax Board will suspend you as a nonprofit organization. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't operate under your 501c3, which is totally different. Your 501c3 is given to you by the IRS. That is tax-exempt status with the IRS. That is where when people make a donation, they can take that as a tax write-off. The other thing is you need to understand that depending on what type of 501c3 status, and there are many different variations. There's a 501c3, there's a 501c6. There are so many different tax-exempt statuses, so you really need to do your research. And depending on which one of those people can take a donation of 50% or up to 100%. So you really need to make sure you know that, so you're not passing out letters to donors and saying, oh, you can write this off at 100%. That's not always the case. And that can create problems for you. So make sure you do your necessary research on that. And you can go to the IRS and find out just tons of information on charitable solicitation, charitable taxes. You can look up nonprofit organizations. You can look up their status. You can do all kinds of stuff. So, again, make sure you do your research because this is very important. All right, so that's the third one. Now, I want to get in and talk briefly about the S corporation. The S corporation, as I said earlier, is I know very little about this. And the little that I do know is as I've done my own research when I was starting our nonprofit, and that is that an S corporation has the option to pass. Now, get this. The S corporation is a corporation for profit, and they have the option to pass their profits, their losses, and get this, their deductions and their credits onto their shareholders. Now, they can do this for federal tax purposes. That's all I'm going to say about that because I don't know anything else about that. I would encourage you to go to the IRS and read up on S corporations. You can find out, I know, a lot of information on this simply because it's a corporation, so I would assume that you can go there and find that out. But again, I would strongly suggest that you do your own research. I don't know very much more about S corporations. Now, limited liability corporations is one of the ones that I know about as well as a nonprofit and sole proprietors be because I've obviously done these. So limited liability corporation, here's what this means. And the acronym is LLC. If you hear it all the time, you see it at the back of people's business cards, you know, Stacy Domar Esquire, LLC, limited liability corporation is what it stands for. And what that means is if you were to start an LLC, you would be considered a member. So the structure of an LLC is member-based. So when you start an LLC, it doesn't mean that you have to have a whole bunch of members. As an LLC, you can have up to 100 members. But I need to state this, and that is that LLCs are governed, or I should say they operate by state statute. That means every state has a different requirement and different regulations for forming an LLC. But in the state of California, you cannot have more than 100 members as an LLC, but you can have as low as one member. But if you are the sole member in an LLC, you are not only the owner, you are the member of the LLC, okay? So this is how it's classified, is based on membership. The structure, again, is set by state statute, so you need to check with your different states. If you're in Las Vegas or any other states, you need to check with the state in which you're residing in or wanting to start your business and find out what their requirements and their regulations are on starting an LLC. Again, I just want to tell you there are no limitations on the number in terms of how low, one, but I believe in the state of California, if I'm not mistaken, it's up to 100 members. I believe that's it. Again, you can check the IRS. The IRS website has this information on there. Okay? So an LLC is a limited liability corporation. And if I'm not mistaken, I know the member, the lowest member you can have is one an individual. And I think if I'm not mistaken, that you can have up to 100 members. All right. Now, there are protections that come with a limited liability corporation, as with nonprofit and for-profit corporations. The beauty about structuring your business in one of these classifications is, unlike a sole proprietor, if you're sued, they're not going to sue you individually. They're going to sue the corporation. So you're protected, and that's one of the protections of being a corporation and a limited liability corporation, is you don't have to worry about your losing your own personal assets when you're structured as a LLC or a corporation. They actually sue the corporation. And let me go back to a nonprofit corporation who has board members and has a board of directors and officers that they have to elect. You can buy certain insurances for your board members and for your officers that will protect them. And a lot of times, if you're asking someone to come on as a board member or as an officer, sometimes they will ask you, do you have insurance coverage for board members and or officers? And you should, as a nonprofit. I would encourage you to have that. I'm one who believes heavily in insurance, so I definitely have that so that the board members and the officers are protected. So you want to make sure you have that, because you do have, pardon me, the protection as being of being a corporation, but you want to have that additional protection to make sure your board members and your officers are protected as well. So again, look into the many different things pertaining to corporations, sole proprietorships, LLCs, S corporations, and partnerships. Okay, so those are the five business structures. Sole proprietorship means you and the business are one. Partnerships mean you and another person have entered into an agreement to form this partnership. You are both responsible for the gain and the losses, the profit and the losses. All right. Corporations, as a for-profit corporation, you know, there's a distinction that the profits made for a for-profit corporation can be shared or dispersed to the, or it can be made for the stakeholders or the shareholders, whereas the nonprofit corporation are not allowed to do that. Any money made by the nonprofit should go back into the nonprofit for the purpose of the mission in which it was created. The S corporation means that this corporation, for-profit corporation, can take their profits, right? That means they can take their profits, they can take their losses, they can take their deductions and their credits they can pass them on to their shareholders for the benefit federal tax purposes. All right. And a limited liability corporation is formed based on a state statute, meaning that you need to contact the state in which you are desiring to start this limited liability corporation and ask what their regulations and their requirements are for starting it. But here in California, you can have as low as one member, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as I said, up to 100 members. So make sure you do your necessary research. But these things are important to know when you are considering starting your own business. You want to make sure you understand the structure of the business that you want to start. So do your research and then make your determination based on your own individual research. All right, so we have discussed the importance of knowing the structure of your business. Now I have a couple of other questions for you. Do you know what other elements are key in starting your own business? I'm going to ask you, and you can write this down, do you know what the following acronyms stand for? FBN, Frank, Boy, Nancy. Do you know what an FBN is? How about BOE? Do you know what BOE stands for? What about BOT? Do you know what BOT stands for? Boy, Oscar, Tom. What about EIN? Do you know what an EIN stands for? So do you know what any of those acronyms stand for? And again, I'm not insulting your intelligence. I'm just asking a question and want to make sure that you're educated and knowledgeable in these areas because they're important. If you know what they stand for, yip, yip. Hooray, that's a beautiful thing because you're educated and you're knowledgeable about what these things are because they're very important. And if you don't know what they are and you're operating a business, it could be very costly to you legally and financially. So let's start with an FBN. FBN stands for fictitious business name. And what this means is that when you file for a fictitious business name certificate or paperwork, it means that I have Ciola's Shoe Shine. But I'm not going to use, I'm Ciola and I'm doing a shoe shine business, but I don't want to use my own name. So I am actually going to create a fictitious, fake, not real, name, and I'm just going to call it Sunshine Shoe Shine. Sunshine Shoe Shine. That's my fictitious business name. It's also known as DBA, Doing Business As. And usually these are done within the county in which you are operating businesses. And see, that's the other thing you need to know. How do you protect your name, the name of the business that you've come up with? And we'll get into that maybe on another episode. Write that down and kind of highlight it, you know, how to protect your name. As a limited liability corporation, your name is protected. But you also want to look into trade right, copyright, and all these different things that we'll get into at another time. I just thought it would be too much to try to cover in one session. So fictitious business name is an assumed name, right, that you're using, and it's also called a DBA, Doing Business As. It means that you're doing business in a business name that is different from your personal name, all right? So in California, I believe it's California, a fictitious business name stands for 5 years. So if you have it for 5 years, you need to make sure you go back and redo it. When you file a fictitious business name paperwork, if you're doing it as a sole proprietor, you don't need any other information than your own. But if you're filing a fictitious business name as an LLC, as a corporation, you will need that information, including an EIN number, which we'll talk about in a couple of seconds. Okay? And after filing a fictitious business name, that recording, because it's recorded as an official business name, it has to be placed in an ad within the city that you are doing business for 4 weeks, not unless they've changed it. It was 4 weeks. And you need to do that. If you go and pay the fee to file a fictitious business name and you fail to record it or place an ad in the local paper, that application and the fees you paid are null and void. They mean absolutely nothing. Also, when you're filing a fictitious business name, you want to make sure that you research. They have computers there where you can actually research the name and see if anyone else is using it before you pay your fees and file your application. Okay? All right, BOE. Oh, let me talk about BOT. Sometimes, depending on the city in which you're filing for a fictitious business name, you will be required, after you file your fictitious business name paperwork, to file a business operations certificate. So make sure when you're at the records office, which is where you file your FBN paperwork, you want to ask them, am I required in this city to file a BOT, a business operations certificate? So make sure you ask that question so you can make sure that you're in compliance when you're filling out all of your legal paperwork for establishing your business. All right, we have about 12 minutes here, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. BOE. What is BOE and why is it important to starting your business? Well, the BOE is the State of California Board of Equalization. Okay, and you certainly want to be familiar with these folks. Again, the State Board of Equalization, so the Board of Equalization in short, BOE as an acronym. And what they do is they handle all tax administration and collection of fees in the state of California for sales and use tax, alcohol, tobacco, and other special taxes, including firearms. So you want to make sure, and you can actually get a BOE seller's permit where you don't have to pay taxes for the items that you purchase. But if you're selling those items as taxable items, you know, then you definitely want to make sure you do your research, because all of that gets kind of herring if you don't know what you're doing and you can get in trouble. So you want to make sure you educate yourself on the BOE. Very important people, and you definitely want to know all about them. And there's an office downtown Oakland. I've spent many a times there. So it's the State of California Board of Equalization, and they handle the collection and the tax administration and the collection of fees for sales and use tax, again, alcohol, tobacco, and other special taxes, all right? And this is where you also get your seller's permit if you're wanting to get a seller's permit and buy your stuff wholesale, all right? And you can print these online, but you will need an EIN number if you are a limited liability corporation or a corporation, nonprofit or for-profit. Now, EIN number. EIN stands for Employee Identification Number, and this is also known as a federal tax ID number. And its primary use is to identify a business entity, right? So EIN is Employee Identification Number. Now, there are varying factors to consider before applying for an EIN number. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm an official business. I got an EIN number. Okay, honey, but you really need to understand why you have that EIN number. So before you go applying for an EIN number online, do the research. IRS is your friend in this case. You want to read up, and the IRS, I know we're all terrified and scared of them, but they have so much information on their website in reference to corporations and limited liabilities. They tell you everything you need to know. All you have to do is take the time to read the information. Educate yourself. I can't stress that enough. Educate yourself. All right. Lastly, I want to talk about, since we've discussed the five business structures, we discussed BOE, EIN, FBN, DBA, and BOT. Fictitious business name, Board of Equalization, employee identification number, business operation certificate, and DBA, doing business as. So since we those five, we talked about those acronyms, knowing what they are. You also need to know about the requirements in your own city if you're looking to start a business in your own city. And you can go to your city's website, and usually they have a tab. All city websites have a tab that says doing business in or doing business with. Under that tab is everything you would want to know about starting a business. So look into a business license. Are you going to do a commercial business or a home-based business? There are certain restrictions and requirements if you're going to do a commercial business. There are a lot, actually. So much more than doing a home-based business. So make sure you look into that. A home-based business, you need to make sure that you're zoned, that your residence is zoned. A lot of people don't do this. They start a business and they don't even consider getting a business license. And when you apply for a business license, the planning department of that city will most definitely send you, or the business license department will send you to the planning department so that they can find out if your residential area is zoned for business. So you want to make sure you do that. I was actually going to open up a nonprofit office in Oakland, and I hadn't done that. And the people at the Oakland business license office didn't tell me. And before I got ready to pay the fees, I went back because I had to go back for a question or something. And another guy actually pulled out a map, and he started showing me all these highlighted sections, and this is not zoned, and you could have gotten in trouble. And I was like, whoa. So I learned, make sure you're zoned, and don't trust the people at the business office, because depending on who you get, they may not mention it and you can get in trouble. So know before you even go. Educate yourself. All right. So let's see. That is business license, zoning. I think that's it. Home-based businesses, there is also a home-based application that you need to fill out, and some other things you need to talk to the environmental health department, depending on what type of business. So you definitely want to do that, okay? So to start this process, you should always check again with your city's website under the Doing Business tab, and you will find a lot of helpful information on the requirements for starting a business in the city of your choice. Okay, so we talked about five business structures. We talked about five different acronyms that are very important, very relevant. We talked about the IRS and the Franchise Tax Board, and in this case, being your friend in terms of starting your business. I hope you took notes tonight. I hope it wasn't too much. Now, we haven't even talked about, and I have about 5 minutes. I think that's enough for tonight. There's so much more to business than beautiful websites and business cards and all this other kind of stuff. You know, we didn't even talk about the business plan. You know, this should be the first thing you do in starting your business is write your business plan. And there are so many websites out there nowadays that offer templates on writing a business plan. Back when I was writing my first business plan, there were very few templates, if any, and I had to kind of do research to do this on my own and end up writing like a 30-page business plan. And it includes budgets and forecasts and projections and all this stuff. And, God, I rattled my brain trying to do that, but I still have that business plan to this day. So, and I've written a couple of more. So you have to write your business plan, and then you need to understand your finances. Is there funding out there for your business? I want to also give you the websites. The SBA, the Small Business Administration, is a lifesaver. The Small Business Development Center is another a lifesaver. So you want to really kind of look into these websites and just gain all the information and knowledge you can. Do you know about the benefits of being a minority-owned business, a woman-owned business, a minority-owned business? There are benefits out there. So do your research about this. Do you know how important it is to retain legal counsel for your business? What about marketing strategy for your business? Have you even done a marketing strategy, a marketing plan? Do you know the difference between the two? What about data, information? What, you know, who your patrons are, your demographics, your geographics, you know, your population, who is the population in which you are targeting? All this information is important. So there is so much more to starting a business, and I just wanted to share some basic business information with you tonight, okay? I know there's a lot, and I know it sounds like a lot, but trust me, once you do your research, starting your business is really not that difficult. It only becomes problematic when you jump into it and you don't really take the time to do your necessary research. So let me encourage you, while there was a lot of information, it's really not as bad as it sounds. And you can save yourself a headache if you just do your research. Do your research. Okay. So remember in the beginning of this show I said I told you in 2010 I started a business called Adept Business Solutions. Well, the name of that business has changed. It is now Adept Business Consulting. And I am professionally coaching businesses, and up until this point, I had not made this public. I've kind of kept that information to myself with everything else I've had going on. But here a couple of weeks ago, I was given the release to now share this information. So, and I've been doing this for a while. I removed the website because I wanted to primarily focus on the nonprofit organization. But now, again, I've been released to kind of share this information. So if you're interested in having business consulting with me, stay tuned because I will be sharing more information on Adept Business Consulting in the coming weeks. I want to thank you for taking the time to tune in, to listen in. I pray you took notes tonight. I pray you took notes. I pray you wrote down your questions and you will do your research. IRS, Franchise Tax Board, Board of Equalization, you know, make these websites your friend. And research, research, research. I can't encourage you enough. Do your research. And again, I will be launching and sharing more information on Adept Business Consulting in the coming weeks. Again, I just want to remind you of the play that's happening on Saturday, May 13th at the Empress Theater in Vallejo, www.female2woman.com. And also the Women's Conference happening in Sacramento on June 23rd. That is a Friday and Saturday, June 24th, www.sceoanew.com. You can find out more information there. I am Ciola J. Abram. You have been listening to Sister Talk on Sisters Radio. This is our blog talk radio show, and I am on every Thursday night at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have any questions, you can send those questions to info@CiolaJAbram.com, info@CiolaJAbram.com. Again, tonight's episode has been Business Basics. I hope you have enjoyed it. Again, this is Ciola signing off. Join us next Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sister Talk. Have a wonderful time. I pray the Lord will bless you, and I pray that you've gained a wealth of information and knowledge from my years of experience, I'm not going to call them mistakes, but my many learning opportunities that were presented to me. God bless. Have a great night.